Hello and welcome to the Fave English podcast, your one-stop shop for Venezuelan football in English, bringing you fortnightly episodes dedicated to the Venezuelan league, the national teams, and the myriad of Venezuelan players around the world. Today we are joined by ESPN commentator Richard Mendez, a Venezuelan with a long history in football, both in Venezuela and now in the US. And today I'm pleased to say I'm also joined by my co-host, Kevin Vivas of Unse Futve. Kevin, how are you?
Hi, Jordan. How are you? Very glad to meet with you and, of course, with Richard Mendez, which is like a journalist idol when I was a child living here in Venezuela.
And Richard, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Jordan, Kevin. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk with you guys about the things we feel the most important in our daily life, as soccer, of course, football, real football, not soccer. Soccer is the American name. The real name is football. I enjoy it with you guys. Thank you, Kevin, for your words when you start talking about me. I hope we can enjoy this opportunity to talk about football.
So I think a good place to start maybe is your experiences of being a Venezuelan commentator and pundit in the US, because obviously Venezuela's reputation as a footballing country is something that's still growing. And you've been there and been involved probably since, you know, before that reputation on the world stage started to develop. Now at the point where there's leading players in MLS from Venezuela, that must bring you great pride to be involved and also see that growth.
Yeah, too many years ago, I think it was 15 years ago, something like that, when I had the opportunity to come here and work for ESPN. ESPN is a big brand in the sports broadcast companies around the world. And I had that opportunity. I work a couple of years with Venezuelan football, especially in first and second division with the Venezuelan national team too. I have some experience in TV, but as you say, Venezuela, it was almost starting to growing up, you know. Maybe we had 2-3 players playing in outside of Venezuela in that moment. And one of them, it was Juan Arango. I think he opened the door for too many football players. I think maybe in my case, it was same. I had the opportunity to open the door for some sport journalists. Right now, you can see Alex Candal or Fernando Petrocelli working in DirecTV Sports, also Francisco Blavia. We have too many good sport journalists, specialists in football. So we know how important is for us, because Venezuela is a small country. We need to improve daily, not only our football. We need to improve daily our journalists, our people in every kind of job. Everything can show a better country in the future. So that's an important topic we have to pay attention daily about how important is the Venezuelan football right now. If you compare with 15 years ago, it was almost nothing. Venezuela grew up a lot, but right now I think Venezuela decreased the speed they were growing up. They're right now almost stopping.
Yes, Richard. And well, for example, when I was a child, as there were few players, few Venezuelan players outside Venezuela. Also, there were like no journalists, football journalists outside Venezuela. As I told you before the interview, when you arrived to ESPN, it was like Juan Arango arriving Real Mallorca. So how was that step for a journalist, specialist in football, to get involved in that work internationally?
It was a nice story, because I work for Meridiano in Venezuelan TV and working with Unión Radio. So my goal, it was still working in Venezuela. So once I received a call from one guy from ESPN. He said, I want to meet you. We have to make some interviews. We ask about the people who works covering Venezuelan football. And someone gave us your name. Okay, I attend there. It was, I remember, it was a weekend on Tamanaco Hotel. When I arrived there for my appointment, I saw around 300 people, journalists from Maracaibo, Mérida, Puerto Ordaz, any place you can imagine. Also, journalists who never cover soccer, never cover sports. So after that interview, they select three people to go to Mexico to make a casting, an audition for SportsCenter. In that time, I was one anchor of Noticiero Meridiano. And for me, it was pretty easy. When I came from Mexico, I thought the job is mine because I can say I did everything perfect. So after that, I think 2 weeks later, they call me and they say, oh, thank you for participating. We select another guy. It could be next time. And I was really disappointed at that moment. So one more week, they call me again and they say, Richard, we want to make an audition with you calling as a play-by-play in a soccer game. Okay. And they say, do you have an American visa? I never came to USA before, but I had the visa because I went to South Korea. Originally, the plane will be stopped in Los Angeles. I need to apply for a visa, for tourist visa. I applied, but at the moment of the travel to South Korea, we went first to Frankfurt and then South Korea. We never stopped in Los Angeles. So I had my visa. I think God is making your way. I attend to Hartford in Connecticut, very close where is located ESPN main headquarters. I went there. I arrived at night around 12 o'clock at night, and my audition, it was at 7 a.m. I made my audition, and then I come back to Venezuela. I made nothing more than the airport, the hotel, and ESPN. So a couple of days after that, they still with audition with people from Colombia, Argentina, Mexico. And I got the ticket. I got the winner ticket, and that's it.
It's amazing. And how, that, like, so fateful that you just happened to have the American visa because of the journey to South Korea as well.
Yeah, you know, it was casually because I went to South Korea to record a couple TV shows for Meridiano, how South Korea invest their football, they build big stadiums. I went there, but you know, it was casually on my mind. I never had the idea to came here or the dream. My dream is, it was is it still the same dream? My dream is see Venezuela playing a World Cup. And well, I think came here to work here, it was one more step in my career.
So one thing I find particularly interesting as like a non-Venezuelan, I see it on social media a lot, particularly I think because of the accounts I follow a lot of Venezuelan journalists, a lot of young Venezuelan journalists as well, people like Kevin, but also a lot of the press officers of the clubs are young And it's also very fluid. You know, those roles change a lot. And one thing I've noticed is that there's this very honest and almost maybe harsh conversation going on amongst young Venezuelan journalists about how it's not professional enough, it needs to improve. They're always sort of putting themselves down, saying we need to be better, everything needs to be more professional. As somebody that started out in Venezuela and you're now in the US, and I think a lot of people see you as like a role model or maybe a mentor as well, what advice would you give? Because you mentioned yourself at the start about Venezuelan journalism having to improve. So how would you practically suggest going about that? For the football?
Yes, for the football. Right now, Venezuela needs to improve. If we think to improve, to get better the football, we have to start the clubs. Right now, the clubs are still by teams, not clubs, not real clubs. They have no members who pays for I don't know, for a subscription or for a membership to have access to the stadium or to the tickets with discount or for merchandises. That's impossible in Venezuela right now. But a couple of years ago, I think they had the opportunity to do it, and they didn't. Another thing, I think the team's owners must to be honest. When I say honest, they have to. If you want to build a big team to win the tournament or to qualify for a Libertadores Cup, you have to pay the money you can pay. No, for more than that, for example. It's normally, you can see right now, teams as Trujillanos, they have no money right now. They almost don't know what is coming next, what is going to happen with them. You know, the Venezuelan football needs I think, cover the roof, cover the ceiling, because the water is dropping everywhere, you know? Too many problems. I think in one point, too many football organizations in Venezuela, they grew up as Caracas, as Táchira, as Mineros, too many teams. But right now, the football is going down because the organizations, they never consider the opportunity to have members to be strong with the people. And when I say strong with the people, it's not only the fans, because the fans will be there always. You need to be strong as organization. And the Venezuelan football needs, for example, Federation, Venezuelan Football Federation, honest. I think the biggest problem in Venezuela is too many organizations are dishonest. They need to say the truth to the players, to the people, everything. Mm-hmm. Right now, the Venezuelan Football Federation, they have to make elections for the directory. And there are two groups fighting, but they're not fighting in the election yet, but they're fighting making dishonest things. If you see about the vaccines, about the members who can vote, they're doing a lot of things that means they are not good people to manage the Venezuelan football in the next years. But is that happen right now? And I feel bad when I see too many journalists. They have to be quiet. They can't say what's happened right now. And the Venezuelan football needs absolutely different, needs to be true, needs honest people, you know. I think Jordan, the Venezuelan football needs to improve.
How can the Venezuelan journalism around football improve in reality? Because you know, the most common description of the responsibility of journalists and of journalism is to hold power to account and to report honestly and factually. But we know with Venezuela, it's not quite that simple. And I know that this is like a view that Kevin shares, or in part shares, that it's quite easy for Venezuelans that have left Venezuela, be it journalists or football fans, to criticize the work that Venezuelan mm-hmm. journalists are doing who are still in Venezuela. And sometimes that's very fair. There are plenty of cases of Venezuelan journalists or people in football choosing to stay quiet. And there's examples of Venezuelan journalists that have to be quiet. So how can Venezuelan football journalism improve with the reality of Venezuela and how things work and are working at the moment?
They can't. Absolutely. They can't say the truth. Because if you are a journalist in Venezuela and if your boss in your media or with the professional team you work, you can't say the truth, because probably you will lose your job and it will be impossible to still working as a journalist. And I think it's impossible. It's like you are, you know, you can't use your hands. You can't use your hands, but you have your hands. So the only way that can change is if the teams, if the owners of the teams, if the owner of the medias in Venezuela left free the journalists to say, to analyze, to comment, to write, you know, to make interviews. Serious interviews. I think it's impossible. For that reason, I understand the people who are still there can't. They can't. And for that reason, maybe I am not the preferred journalist for the football team's owners in Venezuela, but maybe for the players, because they know Richard can say, because he's outside of Venezuela, or Alex Gandal, or too many journalists at this moment. And I think that is the time we have to stay. Is a moment we have to show our accomplishment with this. You know, it's our accomplishment.
Yes, and well, something that I also see about the develop of the sport journalism here in Venezuela is also the remuneration and the sponsorship mm-hmm. that they receive. And even in your stage, well, it was very different, that maybe you can travel to South Korea with Meridiano, and you can travel with La Vino Tinto around because you had a sponsor. Now it doesn't exist. How has been, and I'm sorry for changing the topic, but it's
related. No, that's fine.
Yeah. How was being in that moment of the height of the sport journalism with La Vino Tinto, like 10 years or 15 years ago?
Well, 15 years ago, it was my last trip with La Vino Tinto. I had the opportunity to fly with Venezuela national team to everywhere. If Venezuela had a friendly game against Jamaica at Kingston, I went there. You can imagine, Venezuela went to Las Palmas in Canary Island in Spain. The coverage, it was there, the journalists, because Venezuela started growing up, but the football had too much money, and the radio stations, the TV, they invest money. The sponsorships, the private sponsorships, as Polar, Banco Mercantil, I don't remember, too many. They invest, and it opened a door to follow the Vino Tinto. And in that moment, I think we felt also the journalists, the players, we felt we were at the same level of Argentina, Brazil, or Mexico, because we had everything to do it, and we had power to do it. The coverage of the Vinotinto 15 years ago, it was amazing. The access to the players, everything. The free speech from the players. The free speech from the players. That was for me. It was normal for me. Today, it's impossible. I remember the players making... in an interview talking about the mistakes from the Venezuelan Football Federation. Today it's impossible to think about it, for example. Today the Venezuela national team had a jet plane only for the Vinotinto, painted in maroon color, only Vinotinto with the FVF logo, everything. Today, that is impossible, because today you can see how difficult it was for the Venezuelan Football Federation to pay to Jose Peseiro. Jose Peseiro received the first payment almost 1 year after he started working. In that time, it was different. 15 years ago, a player, a regular player, maybe earned 15 or 20 times the money regular soccer player can earn today. It's absolutely different. It's absolutely different. But I can say you something. I will tell you, Venezuela will go to the World Cup. I don't know if it could be in Qatar or in 2016, but I'm sure Venezuela will go to the World Cup. Winning against not only the rivals, winning against the dishonest people in the football teams, and against everything, every problem around the football. They will do it. They will do it. You can be sure they will do it.
And what makes you so sure that it's gonna happen? I know you said maybe not Qatar, but in 2026 possibly. Obviously, the growing amount of players that are being exported to Europe and to MLS is a growing indication of the quality. But I think when I've been asked this question in the past year, obviously most people ask about Qatar, but I always say, like, if you judge Venezuela purely by the best 11 or 15 players, and then you rank it in terms of the comparable teams, I think Venezuela come out fifth, which is enough for a World Cup playoff. But I think the problem, as we all know, is it doesn't come down just to on-pitch performances, and that's where the risk is. So what makes you confident that Venezuela will qualify? Is it just national pride, or is it more?
I think it's more than that. Venezuela has too much talented players. Today, maybe a player can't improve in Venezuela, but can show their own talent. As Kelvin, maybe he grew up watching TV and watching me or watching Alex or any. Maybe we could be a model for him. Well, same with the current Venezuelan generation. The players in the current generation, they grew up watching TV, Arango, Rondon, Tomas Rincón, and now their interest for football is different. It's first with identity. Then they're ambitious. The Venezuelan player, too many years ago, maybe a player had no ambition, because playing in the first division, they earn too much money. Today is different. Today, a soccer player needs to leave the poor the poor places needs solve the problem of from themselves, but also their families. And today, the Venezuelan player is ambitious, has a football player has great talent, but also is hungry. And if you are hungry, you will do everything to be better and better and better and better.
So you've seen in your 15 years in the States, not only have you seen an increase of Venezuelan football talent flood MLS and USL, but you've also been there to see the growth of football as a sport in the US and how successful they've been in raising the profile of the sport and changing perceptions of MLS to a retirement league, which is how it was universally seen, you know, in the era of David Beckham and those kind of players going there to retire, to in recent years, a league that is exporting top quality players to Europe, you know, young American players in some of the biggest teams in Europe. But aside from that, there's been a massive role that Venezuelan players themselves have played in that development. Between 2010 and 2017, in that 7-year period, there were only 8 Venezuelans that joined MLS, the 8th being Josef Martinez. In 2017, mm-hmm. in his first year, he scored 20 goals in 20 games, 3 hat-tricks, and was in the MLS best 11. The next year, in 2018, 8 Venezuelans joined MLS. So you had 8 in 7 years, Martinez arrives, and then 8 in the very following year. And that trend has continued in the 2 years. So obviously, Josef Martinez has played a massive role in changing the perception of Venezuelan players in MLS. But what else do you think has contributed to the changing perception of players, Venezuelan players in MLS? And how much pride does that bring you to see the changing opinion towards Venezuela's football players?
Let me see. Around 20 years ago, Venezuela had maybe 1 player in MLS. It was Giovanni Savarese. He was an idol here in USA, maybe an idol in Venezuela, but in Venezuela, the people, as you say, the people had a different perception of MLS as a retirement league. The league started changing after David Beckham came in 2007, because David Beckham came in a great moment. He was playing in Real Madrid, and also he signed his contract before he left Real Madrid. He won the La Liga in Spain, and then he came here. That was a perfect moment for the league, because the league started looking for great players in great moments. And in that moment, it started signing good players, and the league started changing to be better. Some exceptions, as Andrea Pirlo, because I think Andrea Pirlo, it was a bad moment for him to come here. But he came. The Venezuelan players remember, my English is not very well. I started learning English 15 years ago, and I am too old. But Venezuelan players can learn a lot here. You have, if you are a Venezuelan player, you have the talent, but you need the discipline. You need to be strong physically. In USA, the players are players go and come for 90 minutes. They never stop. And if you have not good physical conditions, you will lost. You know, the Venezuelan players, they have the perfect conditions for talent, but they have to improve. And MLS is a perfect league to improve that conditions the Venezuelan player needs. So Josef Martinez, when he came as Beckham. He came as a designated player. Designated player are 3-4 each team, players who can arrive with a big name, different money for each, and they are the stars of the league. not only Joseph Martinez. It's the same case for David Beckham, Rafa Marquez, Chicharito, are the players, the icon players for the league. But when you have players as El Brujo Martinez or Miguel Navarro, they are players who have to improve, to earn daily, to learn daily and to be better. At the same time, you have right now Jefferson Soteldo. He can improve some things he needs, but he will arrive here as a star. He will be a star. I think he will be a star, and I think he will make a big impact for the league. But the Venezuelan people start having a perception about MLS as a league who helps the players to send to Europe. It's the case of Alfonso Davies. He played for Vancouver Whitecaps, and one day he signed his contract for Bayern Munich, and right now he won the UEFA Champions League with Bayern Munich. Same example for Tyler Adams. He came from New York Red Bulls. He is playing in Bundesliga. So the MLS is switching to be a league, a final step to jump to Europe. I think that's perfect for Venezuelan players because they can learn, they can improve, and they can jump to Europe.
Well, Richard, and as we are almost finishing, we would want to hear your best experience covering football, being Venezuela or outside.
Well, I think the best, it was the Centenariazo, when Venezuela won against Uruguay 3-0 at the Centenario Stadium, because I think that night we can... Finally, we broke every clothes of Cenicienta, you know? The costume of Cenicienta, we broke it. And we start different. We start as a recognized nation in football. Of course, we have not a big story in football, but that night it was a magic night. I could write a book about that night, only that night. Only about that night, I could write a book.
And now you've been...
You were there in the stadium?
Yes, I were there. Well, it was the time when I fly with the Vinotinto everywhere.
And now you've been in the US for 15 years. And in that time, the league has grown so much, it's afforded you the opportunity to meet and interview some massive stars, some world stars. Going through your Instagram is just like, you know, star after star. You can if you start at the bottom and work your way up, you can just look at the changing face of MLS by the people that you've met and interviewed. Who are some of the best people, best interviews you've had, like biggest names or most interesting people that you've interviewed through being involved in the US scene?
Well, I had a very nice interview. So, you know, David Beckham, David De Gea, Wayne Rooney, too many players from England. Sir Alex Ferguson. Mm-hmm. I can't remember some with Sir Alex Ferguson. Manchester United came here in pre-season. We went to Chicago to cover Manchester United. And after the first training session, the PR of Manchester United said, we have only 3 tickets for 3 journalists, only 3 questions for Sir Alex Ferguson. I couldn't arrive, but other 3 guys had the tickets. We only have the opportunity to put our microphone. And the first question for Sir Alex Ferguson, the guy said, how is Chicago for you? We're talking with Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
That guy sent the opportunity to the trash. Yeah. And Sir Alex Ferguson said, nice, Chicago is nice. Next, that's it.
What a waste. I met Sir Alex Ferguson and Wayne Rooney in 2010.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, when at the time I was a ball boy at Southampton Stadium, and we played them in the cup. It was when we were in the third division. And my cousin, who's the same age as me, he was also a ball boy. And we got there early to meet the players and try and get their autographs. And my cousin, Paul, he said, could I have your autograph, Alex Ferguson? And Sir Alex Ferguson went, sorry, what? And my cousin went, can I have your autograph, please? And he said, did you go to school with me? And my cousin said, no. And he's like, well, it's Sir Alex Ferguson then. I made him call him Sir Alex
Ferguson. He's a very nice guy, Ferguson. It was the opportunity I never had to make a real interview. I got him on the mix song after the game. That's it. That's it.
Okay, we have 2 minutes left and we can't have this interview without talking about Deportivo Táchira. So many people, when
it's the best team around the world, the best team around the world.
That's what I want to hear. So many people tell me when I was in Venezuela since I finished the book, anyone that supports Deportivo Táchira will take the opportunity to tell me that they are the best team in Venezuela, that they're the only team in Venezuela that matters. As an Orinegro, tell me how important Orinegro is in, because it seems not just as a football team, but as part of your very life and very existence. It's more than just a club, everyone says.
Of course. Being Orinegro is more than everything you can imagine. It's an identity. It's passion. It's glory for us. I grew up, I was born in Caracas, but the Caracas FC, they were in second division when I grew up. And Táchira, it was a big team. Táchira had great players. I remember when I met Carlitos Maldonado or Laureano Jaimes, I was a kid. And I remember I was shaking because the emotion to be in front of the big players from the Venezuela national team and Deportivo Táchira. Being Aurinegro is an honor. I'm happy to be Aurinegro. It's the best team for me. I know there is a Real Madrid, Manchester United, Southampton, anything. But Táchira is the best one. You know, Jordan.
Uh-huh. And I guess we've got less than a minute left, but we've also got Kevin here, who's Caracas FC. Kevin, what does it mean to be a Caracas fan?
It's being fan of the best team.
yesterday, it was the anniversary of 93-10, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was there.
Okay, before we get cut off, I just want to say thank you very much for joining us, Richard. It was an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you, Jordan, Kevin. It was my pleasure. And I hope next time we can meet again.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you very much. You're always welcome.
Thank you very much, Richard. See you.
Thank you.